Our first scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. O Lord, have mercy on us. The gospel reading is from the gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 12. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they led him to Annas. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Continuing at verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show but by what kind of death he was going to die. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. I'll be referring back to our gospel lesson in just a moment. But to begin with, I would like to quote from the Gospel of Matthew, a section that is also virtually identical and quoted in the Gospel according to St. Mark. From Matthew 26, "Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.'" This is my text. So they did want to arrest and kill Jesus. The text is pretty clear about that. And later on, they would arrest and kill many of his disciples with no seeming interruption or correction or discipline from the Roman authorities. Read through the book of Acts. When Stephen, the evangelist, caused an uproar, they took him out and they stoned him, laying their cloaks and robes at the feet of one called Saul, whom later we would come to know as Paul the Apostle. Later on in the book of Acts, we read how Paul was given letters to take to the city of Damascus to arrest people who were Christians, although at that time it was called followers of the way. And according to the letters he was given, he could bring them back to Jerusalem in order to be put to death. So really, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who wrote the gospel according to St. Luke and the book of Acts, the chief priests and the scribes didn't have any problems arresting people and killing them. And yet we read in the Gospel of John, which I've noted throughout this season of Lent, has so many other different little details. And this is one of them. Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." Really? Didn't have much trouble doing it at other times and plotting to kill Jesus himself. If you pick up commentaries on the Gospel of John, that little phrase I just read to you gets usually 1 to 2 pages of explanation, searching through Roman law and searching through Jewish law, trying to find some explanation for the comments that the Jews made to Pilate. But I really don't think it's that difficult to interpret or to explain. Again, from the Gospel of John, as Pilate, more so than any other gospel, seems to try to keep Jesus alive and defend him. After already discussing with Jesus behind closed doors one time, he brings Jesus, he has him flogged and puts a purple robe on him and brings him out to the people. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." You see, again, if they wanted to do it, Pilate was giving them permission twice. But I think we have a clue back in Matthew as to why the chief priests and the scribes didn't want to be the ones to do it. They were worried about an uproar. And if they were the ones that caused the uproar, who would Pilate blame? And so most likely under absolute pretense, hoping that Pilate didn't understand Jewish law, which in the Gospel of John, he kind of admits to. "Oh, we can't do it. You have to do it." And so in the end, Pilate kind of use a criminal lingo becomes the patsy. They know they're doing wrong. They just don't want to be responsible for what happens. And that's the way it always is with sin. Go back to the Garden of Eden. It starts then. First Adam and Eve, when they fall into sin, they want to hide from God. Don't want to take responsibility. But then when God, who cannot be hidden from, discovers them, they use one of the other classic maneuvers in sinful man's attempt to deal with his own sin. I mentioned this last Sunday. Adam, did you do it? Well, the wife. By the way, she wasn't around at first. You gave her to me, as if it's kind of God's fault. Woman, did you do this? What have you done? Well, it was the serpent. How many of you grew up with at least one sibling? How many of you ever had one of your brothers or sisters blame you for something they did? Same hands go up. We don't know how to deal with sin as sinners. We want to get rid of it. We don't know how. And the methods we do choose for getting rid of it really don't build relationships of love and friendship with other people. Not taking responsibility for something you've done. Trying to hide what you did. It never works out. Not in the long run. Trying some excuse or trying to blame it on somebody else. Nobody wants to be blamed for something they didn't do, with the exception of one. This is the amazing part of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From our epistle lesson for today, God made him to be sin, in whom there was no sin. From the book of the prophet Isaiah, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as our Lord and Savior is on trial and ultimately as he goes to the cross, being blamed for the sins of others, he offers no objection. And it's not just the chief priests and the scribes who are saying that He's done some evil, though they don't even specify what it is. God, it takes the sin of the whole world. He lays it on his shoulders. An amazing and unfathomable act. As Christ is dying on the cross, God turns his back on God. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did he like doing it? No. but he chose to do it. And in so doing, he has shown to the world a new way to deal with sin. Try to hide it, not to try to excuse it, not to blame it on other people, but to give it all to Christ. That is how God wants us to deal with our own sin personally. But it's also how God wants us to deal with the rest of the world. When the rest of the world tries to behave like the world always has, tries to make us, if you will, their patsies, to make us try to feel guilty for that which is their own sin. It happens all the time and in all kinds of different ways. It can happen just in the context of a family. When somebody, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, is upset with themselves, but then tries to find ways to make you feel responsible too. Now, to be sure, there are many times when we are partly to blame, and we need to take that blame and give it to Christ. But when someone is trying to make us feel guilty for their own sin, we need to be bold in our response and teach them about the role of Christ. Hey, that's your sin. That's not mine. If you want to get rid of it, give it to Jesus. He's more than willing to take it. But I'm not going to feel responsible for it. I'm not going to feel guilt for it. I've got enough sins of my own to worry about. So you can just take that one and give it to Jesus yourself. I'm not sure that's always going to go over very well with other people, especially in a world that's increasingly trying to redefine what sin is and what sin isn't. Especially here in our American culture. It seems like every week and month and year, something that we as Christians have believed and taught and confessed for thousands of years, just suddenly wrong in the world's eyes. Make no mistake about this. Because we are created in the image of God, the truth about sin is embedded into our heart. Yes, we try to deny that truth. We try to hide from it. Just as the chief priests and the scribes knew they were wrong and did it anyway. As our world is trying to redefine sin, it knows what is wrong. But it wants us to be responsible. It wants us to feel like we're the bad guys. We're the hateful people for confessing and teaching what we know from the Word of God to be the absolute truth. When others try to make us feel guilty for their own sin, we need to be clear with them. Take the sins that you have committed, confess them, and then give them to Christ. For the sins of others that are being blamed on you, never yield for a moment. And teach others what the true answer to sin is. It's not to hide from the truth yourself. It's not to try to find excuses to justify yourself. It's not to try to find someone else to blame for what's wrong in your life or what's wrong in the world. There is ultimately only one solution to sin. It is the solution that God offered us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin. But in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.